The New York Yankees are 8-2. That's the way we are starting this show. That is the vibes of the show. And if anybody is out there watching WrestleMania, we have a chance tonight, just to say it real quick, to have both WWE World Champions that are New York Yankee fans. Damian Priest just won the title. Yep. And later tonight, Cody Rhodes, who's a big Yankee fan, has a chance of winning the title. So I'm trying to tie the two things together, and that's how we doing it right
there,
baby.
Who else? Who else but the designated spitters in NYYU could tie that shit together, my brother?
Nobody.
Come on.
Nobody, fam.
Come on,
nobody, baby. Little Keith Sweat coming on. I hope Keith Sweat had nothing to do with Diddy, bro. I hope he didn't.
At this point, listen, everybody who I'm thinking about from those times, that's the same thing I think. It's like, I just hope they didn't go to those parties.
Why did he do this shit? Why? What the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with this damn guy?
Hey,
messing everybody's life up.
Did he do it?
By the way,
I think
speaking of all that, the most entertaining person to just pay attention to right now is 50 Cent. If anybody's not,
50
is the dude right now just to go find all the information on, because he's all over this mess. He's loving it.
Oh, he's
loving
every second of it. He's having a ball with this. Let me tell you something about 50, though. And I was really high on 50, right? Especially
because
of what he was doing with this shit, just, you know, providing laughs and, you know, making light of an otherwise difficult situation.
Yep.
Why he went to Houston and put that damn Astros jersey on?
That hurt.
That kind of pissed. It's like, bro, I know you from Queens, so you maybe got more loyalty to the Mets or whatever, but, bro, you don't go to Houston and put that jersey on, 50.
You can't do that to us, man.
Bro. You're a New York dude.
And that's what I'm saying, too. And it hurts with me because I actually really, really like 50. Like, I really respect 50. 50 is, one, he's a street dude. He's very, very loyal. He lives in an old school type of code, which I absolutely love. And on top of that, he's a successful businessman. So I always respect stuff like that. And yeah, I agree with you on that. The Rock and the Astro shit is a no-no. I don't care where you're from. You know, if you're from any part of New York, I'm like, nah, bro, you gotta rock with the, you can't be doing the Houston shit. Nah,
and you just know Houston knew why they were doing it. Like,
yeah.
I was like, bro, you're opening up against the Yankees and you get 50 to throw out the first pitch. It's like,
they're not stupid.
All right. Okay. I see what y'all doing. So we got to get Meg Thee Stallion to come throw out a first pitch on April 20th.
I mean, just let me be at the game. Some binoculars or something, because Lord have mercy, let me tell you.
April 20th.
She knew what she was doing, rocking those white pants that one
Bring
day.
Those
She's
white
not stupid.
Pants.
Bring those white pants with you. You can rock the pinstripes if you want. By all means, let us all be in attendance. And, yeah.
You said give it a Fanatics?
Give it a Fanatics. Only problem is no man in the audience could stand up to get something to drink afterwards, because everybody.
It's going to be a real stiff situation.
I wish we had Shannon Sharp on the show right now.
Like a quarter to three.
Like a quarter to three. Saloon doors. Oh, I love that, man. Anyway, guys, we are here to discuss the New York Yankees. And
yes,
man,
sir.
Oh, man, could they have gotten off to a better start? I guess the answer is you could be 10-0, right? But
true.
The New York Yankees are 8-2. They are, of course, leading the American East as of right now. Yes, I get it. 10 games in. Surprisingly, the Boston Red Sox are 7-3. Never rule out Cora and Co. I'm telling you. I don't know if it'll last. We'll see. But Francis, I mean, look, man. First thoughts immediately out the gate. What are you thinking when it comes to this New York Yankee club?
My brother, out of the gate, the first thing I got to say is they have shocked me, like quite literally shocked me with everything that we had going into the first series of the season, I mean, we were literally there right before, you know, spring training wrapped up, a couple of weeks before it wrapped up. And the vibes weren't great. They just, they weren't. So I remember, you know, we did our show. And I don't know if we went around on the round table and did what our record would be for the first 10 games. But at some point,
we discussed that, right? Okay, yeah, so we did. Because one of the things I remember us talking about is, I wonder what the record is going to be come April 20th.
Exactly.
Like, are we going to go to the event and be like, let's fucking go? Or are we going to be like, yo, man, they letting us down again.
Exactly.
So we all said, we're like, we wanted to be on a high. Like, we wanted to be on a high, high. And right now, knock on wood, we're on an ultimate high right now. Right.
Pete, I remember looking at the first three series. And I said, this first 10 games out of the gate, just to get to the lowly Marlins, who have they won a game finally? Or
I think they won today, finally.
Congratulations to them. I hope they continue losing tomorrow. But, like, just to get to the lowly Marlins, we had the gauntlet of opening at Houston, four-game set, traveling to Arizona for another three-game set, then to finally get back home, open up at home against the Blue Jays to cap off the first 10 games. I remember looking at that and saying, with the pitching that we have, I think it's going to be a really tough 10 games. But I believe in the offense so much that I think we're going to go 6-4. And I remember people, like, I remember kind of having people look at that as, that's an optimistic take. That's,
yeah, of course. And it is. If you think, if I even think back now, knowing the results, I'm like, bro, that's kind of optimistic, to be honest with you. Yeah,
bro, no doubt. They're 8-2. They're fucking 8-2, Pete. Yeah, like,
8-2.
They've had two, I want to say, like, two performances that were, like, completely almost unwatchable.
One of them, unfortunately,
I was in person for, right? And, I mean, last night, listen, I was able to jump into the game season for that last inning. And, yeah, that was ugly. That was a little, you know?
Bro, my agita was through the roof. My agita was up to here, bro. Like, it was bad. And then to see the Terminator not be the Terminator, be human.
For once,
Was kind of tough to watch because you're like, man, come on. My Terminator is losing it, man. It sucks.
Yeah.
But every now and then we know those are going to happen. But for me, to be honest, I mean, look, you know, I know everybody could say, well, you know, 8-2 is obviously a great start. I'll be real with you guys, man. I'm over the moon with the New York Yankees record right now. The New York Yankees being 8-2. They're home now. You know, they got, what do they got? The Marlins, three more coming home. Then they go to Cleveland. I believe they go to Cleveland right after this. But, man, oh, man, I mean, how can you have... There are things that you can see as negatives, but as a whole, in where the Yankees stand 10 games into the year, it's an A friggin' plus, man. How can it not be an A plus? We also got to remember they're doing this right now without their ace, Gerrit Cole.
Yep.
Their starting pitching has kept them in every single game.
Yep.
They've done everything they can to keep them in the game, even Luis Hill today. Yes, I agreed with him coming out of this game today. He was at 95 pitches. He had a couple of innings there where he really struggled with his command.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where it was ugly. But you see the stuff. I told everybody in the postgame, he's going to have these type of games. It's who he is. He's also going to have games where you're like, yo, this dude like a frontline starter. Like, he has that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But Carlos Rodon looks better. He looks like he's progressing with each start. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody the other day. I hate when I can't give credit. It might have been Ra Thompson. It might have been Ra. And Ra, if you're in here, you let me know if it was you. And he said, the way that I summarized the first two starts for Alos, and I think it's spot on. He said, I think he is trying to figure out who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I kind of see that because
he's
developing into a pitcher a little more.
Yes,
he's
sir.
Throwing these nice cutters inside the righties. He's showing, I still got the 98. He just doesn't have control of it yet. He's not controlling it well.
Exactly.
Slider, curveball, all that. I couldn't be upset with the New York Yankees really in any way. If I want to be picky, I'm looking at maybe the lineup a little bit, how it's structured, maybe the certain Verdugo players. Stuff. The Verdugo stuff, maybe certain players.
But other than
that, man, what can I bitch and moan about? There's really nothing to bitch and moan about right now. Nothing.
No, you're 100% right. And yeah, look, if that was Ra's assessment, then all credit to him. I think that's a very astute observation. It looks like Rodon has kind of used the first two starts as kind of an extended spring, if you will. Mm. Like, right, those last spring outings, there was a couple, you know, things that, you know, the boat was rocking a little bit.
Yeah.
He came out right away in Houston and did, like, something for all of us fans in coming out and limiting the Houston Astros and pitching us into a situation where we can win the game, right? Yep. And that's all we could have asked for in that first start.
Yep.
He came back, does the same thing. Does the same thing in Arizona, all right? The same thing. Keeps us in the game. Listen, he gave up home runs on cookies, right?
Right.
There was, I mean, I think it was Jack Curry at the end of the game. He was talking about the first home run that Blaze hit, and he was saying that it was a relatively good pitch or something like that. I tend to disagree with the pitch to Blaze. And a lot of people keep saying, that was a good pitch. That was a good shot. I don't think that's a good pitch. But
you know, it's funny because when he hit the home run, right, I looked on game day.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I said, oh, it was inside. It was a good pitch. But then you see it again, and it's like, no, it wasn't. That pitch tailed a lot over the plate for a minute. I think where it might have hit would have been a bit inside, but he got well out in front of it. It wasn't a good pitch. It was kind of a get me over.
And the kid, he's a rookie coming up. Like, I don't know. Sorry, I don't know if he's a rookie, but I know he's young. Just getting started. That's right in his wheelhouse. He's not gonna beat Rodon on a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get me over, he can beat you to the spot with quick hands. And that's just what happened there. And then the Marte one was just that location was egregious. And they didn't even have to show me where the ball was going. Once he hit it,
I mean, everybody
saw
knew
the swing, and it was just like, okay,
Carlos.
Damn.
All right, man. Can we just get this guy a couple of runs? But yeah.
Everything in between that.
Yep.
Everything in between that is where I wholeheartedly agree with Ra. I think there were moments where I was wondering, is he just going to go fastball here, or is he going to try to do like pitch to contact maybe? And he was surprising me because, you know, where he seemed reluctant to go to the fastball in spring training, he wasn't. And
correct.
He was using his fastball.
Correct.
And sometimes when I thought if he goes to fastball here, he's going to be really predictable. He wouldn't go fastball. He would go cutter, which is
cutter
a tough fastball.
Great,
I know.
Too.
But, there was a back foot one in that Arizona game
that
was absolute. I was just like, if he can figure that out, we got something.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but during the offseason, all I kept saying was try to pair this guy with Andy Pettit. I don't know if there's any way you could lock these two together and go, man, here's the cutter. You have to learn it. Like, if you do anything this offseason, it's learn how to throw that cutter and become very comfortable with it. And he is becoming comfortable with it. And look, with Gerrit Cole being out, we now hear that Cole is going to start a throwing program. He's going to start getting ready, start ramping things up.
Tuesday,
he set that expectation. Tuesday, he's going to start doing that. And he set that expectation to be possibly in June, June 1st. I don't like putting a number June 1st. I just say, look, if he comes back in June, great. I think everybody's happy.
That's the way to go.
And that's the way to go. Don't worry yourself. Don't be concerned. It goes, you know, he's not going to get ready by June 1st now. And everybody goes, oh, my God, that was the date.
There was a setback or some shit.
Yeah, like it really wasn't a setback or nothing, but people will make it sound like that.
Mm-mm.
So I'm just hopeful we get him back this year because a lot of the guys look good. Like, even if you want to talk about Clark Schmidt's last outing, where I think was the worst performance of any starter so far through the rotations. I think Clark Schmidt's last performance was not good. A lot of pitches just left over the middle of the plate. A lot of hangers. Just didn't seem to really get in a groove and find it. Nestor Cortez has back-to-back outings where you can sit there and just say he kept the team in the game. He kept the team in the game. And they got...
I can't say he didn't. Yep.
They won those games, you know? So he's kept them in a game. So, yes. Do we have that, six-inning performance? Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman has been amazing. He's kind of stepped up and said, hey, look, I'll be the man. I got no worries doing that. If him and Carlos Rodon could anchor this rotation, Yankees are in good shape.
Listen, not just that. Him and Carlos Rodon, if they continue doing what they've done so far, which is not asking too much.
Right.
At all.
Agreed.
And Luis Gil does what you said he's going to do, right? That he's going to have those games like yesterday where it was like, we're working through. What did I say yesterday? Sorry.
Today.
Yeah. Today, where it's like, okay, you're laboring a little bit. You're throwing a lot of pitches. The command is not there. But then he's going to have those other games where you're like, Jesus, this guy could be the best pitcher in our building right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
If he does that with those other two guys, we're going to be in relatively good shape.
Yeah.
Come June. Like, there's just no, there's no two ways about it. And a lot of that has to do with the offense actually being what they were built to be. They've been what they were built to be so far this season. I mean, all the comeback wins or whatever. It just, so far, it doesn't feel like, even on opening day, we couldn't get shit going. We couldn't get shit going. It was difficult or whatever. In the ninth inning, we got two runners on. This entire stadium was shaking on its feet because we thought, we're like, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. Like, because so far this season,
they've done it.
They've done it.
Yeah.
So that's how it feels so far, at least for me, like looking at it.
Yeah, no, man, it's been great. And like you said, you talk about the offense. We always knew, we always had an idea. And I think we all kind of said this on the roundtable, is if the starting rotation could just keep them in the game, we have enough faith in the offense that they could come through and do it. And guys, yes, I saw some people asking. We are doing voicemails, 804-592-6160. Throw your voicemails in there. Again, this is not going to be your regular hour and 10, hour and 20-minute show. Probably sticking to about 45, 50 minutes today. So if you're going to call, call now, and we'll try to get to those as soon as we can. But when it comes to the Yankees offense, there is a major standout for me, and that is Anthony Volpe.
Yes, sir.
Anthony Volpe looks like, people say he flipped the chapter, right? He's a new, no. I say he threw that old book away and he's a brand new book. And he just like started writing a whole new book. There is no different chapter. Anthony Volpe, it's funny because one of my predictions on the roundtable was that he would be the AL All-Star, the starter for the American League at shortstop this season. And I said, the only way I'm going to go on a limb and do it is because I believe he's going to keep up what he's doing in spring, which is the approach. The level swing, the two-strike approach going to right field. And let me tell you, man, when you look at the player last year and you look at the player you're seeing now, you'd be hard-pressed to say that's the same guy with how good Anthony Volpe looks right now. He's the MVP at a club right now. I don't care what anybody says.
Listen, he is literally night and day from last season. It's ridiculous.
Completely.
You're not. It's exactly what you said. It's to the point where if we grabbed a random person, right, and we just removed Volpe's face from video, and we showed them video of a couple games from last season and video of these first 10 games, there is no way they would think that those two guys were the same player.
No doubt.
There's just no way.
No doubt. No doubt. He looks absolutely amazing. Great. Look, he's stealing bases. He's taking the ball to right field with the two strikes approach. He's not swinging and missing wildly. He's not doing none of that. He's not doing none of that at all. So he looks like a completely different player. Soto is who we expected him to be.
Exactly.
He's just going to get in great counts.
Yeah.
Torres is the leadoff hitter. Ah, I could do without it. Not my number one thing.
Yeah.
You got a guy in Alex Verdugo who's kind of struggled with the bat early on. I talked about this a lot with you guys. Mm-hmm. The idea of him hitting 6 or 7 to me is a waste of a player. It almost makes me not even excited that he's coming up. I just see him and I'm like, this is Andrew Benintendi shit all over again. It makes no sense.
It's hard to get excited because of where he comes up a lot of the times.
Right.
So, I mean, even though I'll give you one thing, when on opening day, it's past Friday, when Torres and Rizzo got on. Wait, I'm bugging. Was it Torres and Rizzo? It couldn't have been because then that means we got split between. Oh, no, it probably was. Anyway, I think those were the two men that got on. And when Verdugo finally came up, I was really happy it was him. I was actually really happy it was him.
You're talking about when they, the home opener.
The home opener.
Yeah.
In the ninth inning there, the bottom of the ninth. I was actually really happy it was him in that spot. But you're 1,000% right. It's most of the times he comes up and it's a little anticlimactic. It's like,
correct.
There's not much going on or whatever. Like, but it's like, I could see people, because the reason I play devil as advocate there is because I could see people making the other argument, like the other day in extra innings in Arizona or stuff like that, where it's like, well, he still can produce where he's at. I get that point. I think what we're saying is he could produce more somewhere else. It's not that he's not going to produce in the seven hole. Because he's Verdugo. He's going to produce. It's just
he could. Yeah, of course.
Where can he be maximized, I think, is the argument.
It's the effectiveness, right? It's the effectiveness of where somebody bats in an order. And like I said, you can be picky and find something. And this is one of the things I feel I could be picky about and sit there and go, if Doogie's leading up, at least against righties, right? He's leading off against righties. It also helps the middle of your order because I feel like Glaber is the better, more productive hitter overall in the middle of the order than Verdugo would be. In my opinion, and Verdugo's a guy who gets on base, has good speed, has a ton of energy he plays with. I just think it works better as him being a guy that's going to be seeing fastballs down to Johnson because guys don't want to face Soto and Judge, so they're going to automatically try very hard to get that first out. And to me, that's the position he needs to be on. Being the Yankees aren't doing it, and it just reminds me of Benintendi over again, where the Yankees got a guy that a similar profile. And they don't put him in the position to succeed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now the Yankees are 8-2. So what do you complain about? There's not much to really complain about. You find certain things. But I do want to ask you this before we start pulling up voicemails. Are you on the Aaron Boone conversation of the Stanton train? Are you hopped on board? Are you pulling the fucking horn? Are you doing all that? Are you going all out? Do you believe the G train is here?
I hate to sound negative right now.
Everybody knows how I feel. So
I hate to sound negative right now. All right, but I got to do it, and I'm gonna be honest with you guys, right? Because this is what we do: is designated spitters. The spitters are gonna spit. That's it. Tell okay. He hit a grand slam today. I'm very glad that he did. We needed all four of those runs against an offense like Toronto.
He was player of the game based on our post game.
Player of the game. Shouts out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that doesn't necessarily justify having him bat fourth or fifth for me. Okay?
No way.
Fact that he's going to run into one and stuff like, do I believe that he's going to run into one? Yes, I do.
We always knew that though, right?
Exactly. This is what I'm saying is, to have a 219 guy, batting fourth or fifth is what worries me. And this is where me and the nerds are on completely different ends of the spectrum. Because the nerds will tell me that I should be focusing more on the 3 home runs in 10 games. But I'm not. Because with Judge and Soto, I'm not focusing on the home runs from Stanton there. So it's like I can do with those home runs lower in the lineup, but I want a guy batting fourth or fifth that's going to give me a little bit more of an at-bat and not look completely overmatched, which is still how he's kind of looked for the majority of these first 10 games. Now, I won't say that he's been, like, remember, a couple days ago, listen, on Friday, I was all but ready to say, listen, man, like, if I never saw him again, it would be too soon. Because some of those ABs were just
horrible. They were some of the worst you'll see all season, I guarantee.
To see how late he was on Kikuchi's fastball, it was just like, and Kikuchi, don't get me wrong, Kikuchi has a good fastball. He plays well off of the other things that he throws. He's deceptive. I mean, the way that even his motion, he drops down with the ball in his hand really low, and then he comes at you. I get it, but God, to see a guy like Stanton look the way he did on some of those fastballs in person was hard. And it was just like he was batting cleanup that day. So I was just like, this can't be the cleanup hitter. This can't.
We had some people in the chat that day, no joke, say, Pete, do you think there's a possibility he just can't see the ball? Like, do you think there's like a vision aspect here? And at that point, I'm like, bro, at this point, I think he just fucking sucks ass. You know me. Yeah. I was just like, I think he's ass. Like, I said this in spring training, breaking news. Remember I started the show? I said, breaking news, Stanton is ass. That's it.
I was in Tampa.
And we got a great comment, too, by her. She goes, I'd sooner trust Ozzy Osbourne's crazy train than the Stanton train. So I'm kind of with Hirsch. But look, let me clarify for all of the Yankee world where I'm coming from on Stanton. Am I happy Stanton has basically helped win today's ball game? He had the 3-hit game. Yeah, of course. I'm happy with all that. But I also don't want to lose sight of, again, since June 1st of 2022, he's hitting 180 with an under 300 on base percentage. So for anybody that feels like I'm going to jump on the train because he had two good games, there's a strong possibility he could go 3 for his next 30 with 14 strikeouts. Because you know why? They go, oh, Pete, don't say that. No. The reason you can say it is because we have a track record of it.
That's who he's been.
Yeah. So for anybody to be like, oh, look, he proved you wrong. He has to prove the entire fan base wrong. Because nobody can sit here and say for 2 years they've been saying he's still a 4-5 hitter. He's still one of the better hitters in the game. Nobody said that. Nobody. Yeah. There's not stats to prove that. So I need a good month plus
Seeing
this guy be consistent before I sit there and go, he looks a lot better than he was previous years.
Thank you. And that's the last point that I make on Stanton is literally that. Look, we're not saying that Stanton can't go on a heater.
Correct.
For 8-9 games. When Correct. Boone sat there Friday and was like, well, this is what it is with Stanton, right? He's streaky like that or whatever. Okay. That is not the argument. We know that Stanton can get hot and go on a tear for 8, 9, 10 games. What normally happens, though, is that happens after the fact. He cools off completely or the other thing happens. And I'm not going to say that because the vibes are too fucking high right now. And we already had to deal with some... that the other day with lasagna. So I'm not going to say the other thing, but you guys know what I'm alluding to. One of two things happens. Either he just cools off and looks like he never played baseball a day in his life, or the other thing happens. This is what happens. What Pete is saying, what I'm saying, is that if he did this for 4 or 5 weeks, it's like, okay, all right, then you know what? After 4 or 5 weeks, I'll come on the next episode of Designated Spitters right away and say, look, I might have been wrong about Stanton, bro. This dude is nuts. Like, this dude looks crazy the last month.
Me too. We've
done it before with certain guys.
And we all want that.
I mean, look at what we're saying with Volpe.
Yeah, of course. None of us are sitting here going, we just want to see the decline continue with Stanton. Well, I would love to sit here and go, holy shit, he proved everybody wrong, including myself. Like, he's really proved. This dude... imagine he ends the year at 245, 35 homers. You sit there and be like, holy shit.
Exactly. That'd be
like,
fucking
damn,
amazing.
Let's go. That would be Yankees win the division, if that's the case, more than likely.
Yep.
They'll win the division because their offense, if he does that, their offense is going to be stupid. So a lot of great shit would happen for the New York Yankees if that is indeed the case. But continuing to move on, because again, guys, we're going to have a little bit of a shorter show. We do got your voicemails pulled up. We'll get to those momentarily. Oswaldo Cabrera has looked really, really good. A couple of times there's some tough plays at third base, but other than that, he looks really good. Yankees bench having a guy like John Bertie on it was such a big friggin' move. The bullpen is where I want to talk about next. I think we all kind of know what Soto is, what the offense has looked like.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the bullpen. Today was a good day for the bullpen. I think Cousins is probably going to get sent down to get an arm back up. I could see that happening. I think Cousins is decent. I think he's just one of those guys to where the Yankees just said, look, man, he got a plus slider, great movement. Just keep throwing it. Because watch him today and you're like, bro, what are you doing throwing 3-1 sliders, bro? Like, you're up by your team's winning. Throw a friggin' fastball down to Johnson and move on. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? I know it's easier said than done to just throw a fastball down the middle, but... you know, those type of things, I'm like, all right, with this guy. Dennis Santana looks friggin' awesome. He looks great.
With the news that we got to get him here, he was coming into a bad spot, right?
Yep.
And so far, he's looked good.
He looked awesome, man. Nick Birdie looks excellent. Yeah, he had the one outing where, for some reason, Trevino, and I want to get your take on that, because you've pitched.
Yeah.
When you're a pitcher, if you feel that any pitch is above the waist, you expect your catcher is going to catch that.
Yeah.
Now, when it's a ball in the dirt, you could say, okay, if I spike one in the dirt, that is a tough
thing.
That's
on me.
That's on you.
Yeah.
There was two of those pitches that were above the zone, high. Boom, boom. You got to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's looking around like, yo, Nick Birdie. Yeah, he was wild. But like, man, Nick Birdie. I'm sitting there going, Nick Birdie? I'm like, I get it. Yes, those are some tough pitches, but... Trevino's a platinum catcher. How is he missing this?
So you're talking, and just to be on the same page for sure, we're talking about opening, like the home opener, right?
I believe it was the home opener when he was missing
the two runs.
When
the two runs came in.
Yes. On the wild pitches.
as soon as you started talking, I was like, I know he's going to ask me. It's funny. So at that point in the game, I had actually moved down to around home plate area. And I was just standing there with like hundreds of other people watching the game from there because it's the best view in the house.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, like, nothing pissed me off more than like listening to people around me groan and say, who is this guy pitching?
Hey, he's a bomb. And I had that in the chat. Like, minor leaguers.
And I'm just like, you guys realize that the guy with all the stuff on is supposed to be a platinum glove catcher?
Yeah.
Like, no, nobody realizes that this is a platinum glove catcher. And these pitches are not 10 feet off the ground.
No, not at all.
They're not 8 feet off the ground. They're just, it's just cross-ups in location. But he's missing location by a few feet. Not 4 and 5 feet like Aroldis Chapman. I mean,
right,
Chapman,
not that you got to either jump up and stretch.
Exactly.
Or
no,
you're like
no,
right
no,
here.
No.
You're like this.
Exactly. It's not.
And his arms reach.
It's not the stuff like when Aroldis used to come in and the first three pitches just went straight to the
backstop.
You couldn't even, you didn't stand a chance type shit.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it. I'm just like, no, I'm sorry, bro. Like, yeah, he's missing location. I'm not going to absolve him from that. Like, but
right.
This is Nick Birdie. First time as a Yankee, home
in
opener, pitching
family
in a close
there.
Game, family there. Like, yeah, bro, you're the catcher. You're supposed to be the veteran guy. You're a platinum glove. You're former all-star. Like, you're the calming presence there. That's where I expect you to kind of step up and say, and at least, bro, both of them? You couldn't catch one of them?
Facts. Like, that's what I'm like. There was one in the dirt where I'm like, all right, you know, it's in
that's,
the dirt.
Yeah, that's
it's
on
tough,
Nick.
That's tough. But those other ones, I'm sitting there going, are these cross-ups? Like, but you got PitchCom. What the fuck are you crossing up on? Like,
it was a cross-up in, you could tell it was a cross-up in location because of where of how Trevino was setting up. But then there's also the argument of Trevino normally doesn't, he's not like, Trevino's not like the one knee guy or anything
I
like that or whatever.
That shit, bro.
But it was later in the game and he may have been a little tired, whatever. I'm not saying whatever. His posture also, his receiving posture also was not the sharpest at that point in the game.
I'll tell you this, and this might be a hot take. I haven't seen a platinum glover in him in a while.
He definitely, listen.
I'm just being honest. I know a few years ago he won that award. I haven't seen no platinum field. I haven't seen a Yachty.
I haven't seen a Yachty and
Molina behind that plate. I'm sorry.
It's not a knock. I think just as of, you know, because a lot of, I know Trevino's, he's a fan favorite with a lot of people. Shouts out to him and all his fans. And I'm not saying I'm not a fan of his, but it's hard to argue against Pete's point is what I'm saying. It's like, thus far, these first couple games, these first couple appearances, it's like, I'm not seeing anything that's that much more special that he should be starting over Wells.
I'm not seeing somebody much more special than Austin Wells, to be quite honest with you.
To be honest with you, it's like, I don't know. Like, normally I thought we were coming to the season and I was thinking, I mean, yeah, the days that Trevino's going to start, it's going to be because of what he provides on the plus side defensively. Thus far, I agree with you. I don't see that.
Yeah, I just haven't seen it.
I just think,
sorry.
I think what I saw on Friday, and again, like I said, I know you could be tired. There's a lot. It's the home open. I get it. There's a lot of shit going on. That game is taxing, especially on a guy like a catcher, because you're out getting warm for a long time. There's all these long intros and ceremonies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long day for a catcher. So I get it. But again, my issue was, damn, bro, both of them, like, you couldn't catch one. Like, a platinum glover at least grabs one of them. At least you save one of those runs. Like,
no doubt.
Like, it's just like, man, because you put him in a tough spot, and he was getting hung out to dry by the fans, and that's the thing too, is like, some fans don't know any better,
right, and by that time he's in the game, everybody they're all plastered.
Oh, and
they're all plastered already.
It was, I mean, you
there
could
there was
smell.
People saying they were yelling at Soto fans.
Yeah, they were.
That's what Kev was telling me. Like, they were yelling at Soto
in left field. They were yelling at Soto, but. Again, that pissed me off because they were yelling at Soto.
Francis was ready to get thrown out. He told me, he's like, bro, I'll get thrown out. Like, if anybody wants to go in, then we'll get thrown out today. I don't care.
It was late. It was late in the game, and our offense looked like shit anyway. I was like, who's talking about Soto? I'm going over there. I'm going to fuck him up. I'm ready to get ejected. I was like, yo, I'll be back on April 20th. Like, I don't care, bro. Like, we're not doing this in the home opener because they got mad at Soto on the strikeout or whatever. But
yeah.
again, people are so fucking drunk. And I know because we were all drinking as a collective fan base from 10 a.m. in the morning. Okay. Yep. Like, like walking into the stadium, you smelled just alcoholism. You just smelled it. All right. Like,
as Mario says, NYYU alcoholics.
Listen, it was nuts. Like, I mean, I've never gone into the stadium and the first thing I do is, yo, what am I going to get to eat, bro? Because I'm so, but I had to get something.
Yeah, to get something to eat.
It was just like, we were drinking, we were whatever. But the strikeout that people got mad about, okay, he swung and missed on strike three. Yeah. But I think it was the first strike call in that at bat was absolutely positively fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
If there's one thing about Juan Soto, man, and it might be my favorite thing about him, his knowledge of the strike zone is second to none.
Nobody has it like him. Nobody.
How many times have you seen, and you're calling these games, so you're seeing it on, you know, with the game day right there.
Yeah.
You see him argue a pitch and you look at the game day and it's like, yeah, that's not a strike. That's not a strike.
Facts.
He's rarely wrong.
It's cool too, right? Because in the future, maybe even next season, we're going to have the automatic strike zone where you could just touch the top and be like, hey, all right, that's a ball. And it's literally the same shit. It's the tracker on the ball. They know where the strike zone is and it hits or it doesn't hit. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see when that is implemented, how well it is used. Because a guy like Soto, I would love to see what his percentage of being right is. That's going to be interesting. When you got players with a really high percentage of being accurate on their calls. And it's like, yo, like this, if he knows the zone like that, everybody just shuts up and leave it alone. You know what I mean? And let it be.
Judge, to be honest with you, Judge is another guy who, again, because of his start, you know, to his career with the 200 strikeout season, whatever,
he got
that label. But Judge is another guy who, if you ask me, he has a decent understanding of what his strike zone is.
No question. No doubt about it.
He chases. He does chase, but you got to, I think, and it's not me making excuses, but bro, doesn't it always feel like Judge ends up chasing in an at-bat where he sees in which way the umpire's leaning on calls?
Yes,
so he 100%. Starts to expand. And he did it today. A smart pitcher is going to take advantage of that.
He did it today. The first pitch, I think it might have been his last at-bat, was an up-and-in fastball that was obviously up-and-in, and Hernandez calls it a strike. Next pitch, he goes right back to it. And you can see he swings and he just turns around and looks at Angel. Like, now you got me swinging at shit because this is what your strike zone is shit. So
I got to swing at this, right? Yeah. And again, that's fault on the umpire. You can't get mad because I see people say the pitcher, oh, but he knows that's not a strike. So the fuck what? You're a pitcher. Like, you're going to take whatever strike they give you.
Of course.
Like,
of course.
The other day, was it with Kikuchi? I think it was Kikuchi. He was consistently getting a strike. Oh no, I'm thinking this is back in the Arizona game, and it was Rodon's start. It was Rodon versus Merrill Kelly. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah, Merrill Kelly was getting Merrill the outside
Kelly
corner
was
by a shit.
Very,
zone.
Very smart in that game.
Yeah,
he knew that he was getting pitches on the inside part of the plate to righties, outside to lefties.
Yep.
He knew it was a ball, but he knew he was getting it called all day, so he lived there.
He lived it. Yeah,
he lived there.
Correct.
It wasn't a strike. But it was getting called a strike that day. Yep. That's what you do as a pitcher.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
And no doubt about it. That's exactly what you capitalize on. And you know, they've been able to do it. But again, I keep going back to it. I one of the things I said that the Yankees should do and Aaron Boone should do is simply just say 82-80. These guys, I really believe it. And it's hard to convince me of stuff when it comes to the Yankees over the last couple of years being ran by Aaron Boone. But I think even more so, I think the players have a chip on their shoulder. I think Aaron Judge is sitting there with these guys going, bro, we didn't even make it. Like, you know, we didn't even get our feet in the water to say, shit, we just fucked up in the wild card. We just fucked up in the ALDS. No, we didn't even have a shot to do that. We didn't even put our feet in the pool. We stayed on the side burning hot, you know, and now we're out. Now we're done. We bowed out early. Now the sand is too hot for the feet. We're gonna go sit up here on the boardwalk. That's what they did. They didn't even go to battle. They left the swords at home. They said, nah, there ain't no war for us. We ain't even getting in it. This year, I feel like there's a chip on the shoulder. I really do. I feel like they have a chip on their shoulder, and they understand that last year just cannot happen again. And the only thing I hope, because they got people asking me all the time in chats, Pete, trade deadline, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? And I'm like, look, we don't know anything that can happen until then. We don't know who's going to be on the team healthy. We don't know who's coming back. We don't know what the bullpen is going to look like. Because on top of that, you got to remember, You got Canely coming back. You got Scott Efros coming back. You got Lou Trevino coming back. Mm-hmm. You got JT Brubaker, who's on the men coming back. So there's a lot of reinforcements. You got Neely in AA. You got Velasquez in AA. You got Watson in AA. You got a lot of things that can happen for the New York Yankees over couple of months.
Are both Cody's up right now?
Cody Petit and what's the other one? Cody Morris. I think they're both. I know Petit is in AAA. I don't know where Cody is. Cody's Morris. Probably in AAA.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, those are other guys too that are like the depth is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's really crazy.
We have it. We have it, no doubt. But let's get into, we got a super chat, then we're going to get into our voicemails we have here. My brother Rod Thompson says, I don't care what anyone says, when Luis Hill figures out his command, he is going to be nasty. So happy I survived the earthquake and Green Grove wasn't raided. No diddy. Yo, Green Grove had cameras in those rooms, France's ass would be toast right now.
Listen. No diddy.
France's would be toast. Who the hell knows? Man. Who knows what was going on in those fucking rooms of the grannies? After tell bingo you. Night? Forget about it.
Listen, baby. It's don't ask, don't tell in the Green Grove community, okay?
All right, let's get to the first voicemail.
Hey, Pete. Listen, I know I've been doing these voicemails. I'm sorry I've been rude. I didn't introduce myself. Oh. My name is John. Last name is Dick. I'm from Kentucky. I've been a Yankee fan since 1999. I just wanted to check by. I see you had your designated spitters podcast. Yeah. I've been a Yankee fan since 1999. I love the team. I like what you're doing with the place, man. You know, I see that dude Francis. He's a cool guy. You know, you got something going on here. You know, it's really nice. I'm gonna tell my fellers back in Kentucky. You know, to watch you guys. You know, to see these. Do some voicemails and stuff so we can, you know, country folks like us, we like baseball too. All right? See you later, Pete.
Country folks like us, we like baseball too.
The fellas.
Put a little, you know, go ahead and put a little bacon grease on your fingers. That'll sparken up those spin rate for you. But if you have, hey, look, for everybody out there in Kentucky, we're four subs away from 24,350. So, hey, man, if you want to get four of those fellas that you got out there to go ahead and hit that subscribe button, we'll be happy. We'll take it.
Yes, sir.
We'll take it all day. We got two more guys, and like I said, it's going to be a shorter show today. Let's keep it going.
Pete, Kyle Mai here. 8-2. That's a great start. Let's keep it going. Let's go sweep to Miami, New Orleans. Because they're really not a good team right now, but anything I'm going to do. But let's not keep that going. Right? Let's get 3 wins against New Orleans. All right, Pete. Well, you're doing great. Have a good night. Go Yankees.
Thank you, Cobb Malay. I appreciate that, my guy. Then we got a last one from the one, the only, DJ Steelio.
Yeah. What up, Simonetti and Francisco B? It is the one and only friendly neighborhood DJ Steelio with the book calling in again. How the fuck are you guys doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, he might still be mad at me. I don't know.
I'm calling in because Jira told me to call in, leave a voicemail on Discord. Which, by the way, for all the new members that have recently got gifted with the membership or joined, go to Discord, man. It's freaking fun. But yeah, like I was telling Pete a couple of hours ago on the postseason show, 8-2, bro. 8-2. Who would have thought 8-2, they would have swept Houston, taking 2 out of 3 out of the reigning NL champs, and 2 out of 3 from the Toronto. I mean, two out of three from the Blue Jays. That was predictable, but I was kind of hoping for a sweep. But it is what it is. So, yeah. All right, man. Gotta go, guys. Peace.
Wow, no joke. I thought he was going to have a joke for us. No joke at all. But, yes, guys, in the chat, there is going to be All Rise tomorrow morning at 11. So, don't worry about that. Tune into that. DJ Steels was mad at me, I thought he was still going to be mad at me. You know, Ronnie had a great joke. He said he was fat-shaming him. And I said, look, bro, Steels, it's fun. Ronnie's having fun with you. And I thought it was a good joke. So Ronnie got the W and Steels was upset. And I'm like, what are you upset with me for? Be upset with Ronnie. What are you mad at me for? What did I do? I just gave him the W because I thought it was well-timing and it was good. That's it.
These things happen. These things happen. Even
I think
even,
he's a handsome son of a bitch, to be honest with you.
Even greats like DJ Steels have to take a loss here and there, man. It happens.
That
right?
is all of us, bro. I think I'll be honest. If he's here listening, I think he's a handsome son of a bitch.
It's about how you come back, Steels. It's about how you come back. So let's see. Let's see it.
He tried, but I think it came back a little short. That's why he didn't get the W. I know he's gonna be mad at me saying that, but I just didn't know. You know. Hirsch is leading in W so far, by the way.
Hirsch is
as the winner.
Hirsch is a freaking heavyweight when it comes to that. I'm telling
you. He's
the
man. He's
the man. Got your work cut out for you, man.
Hey, if you're trying to beat Hirsch, it ain't easy. But guys, we're gonna talk really briefly. Predictions for the next three against the Marlins. The Marlins have not been a good team. I think you have to assume two of three mandatory. You must leave winning two of three. We'll love to see the Yankees sweep. We will have, let's see, it'll be Nestor, Los, and Stroman.
Yes.
You got your three. You can argue two of your best going. I don't want to shit on Nestor too much. I'll say maybe, okay, let's put it fair. You got your 1, 2, and 3 going.
That's a great way to put it.
You got your 1, 2, and 3 going.
Let me tell you this. I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't loved the first innings from Nestor at all. I think it's rough when you're matched up against, you know, everybody's one and you're coming out, you know, that flat. Yeah. What I will say is going into this Marlins series, this needs to be your get right start. If you're Nestor Cortes Jr.,
yes, great
this,
point.
This needs to be your get right start. You need to have walked off the mound in, what was it, Arizona, and decided,
yeah,
look, my next start is against the Miami Marlins at home. I mm-hmm. need to be the sharpest that I've been thus far this year.
Correct.
So that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not going to go out, jump out the window, say he's got to, you know, give me 6 complete innings or whatever. Right. I'd like to see him pitch into the 6th. The bullpen got quite the workout this weekend.
Yep.
So I'd like to see him pitch into the 6th inning with no more than 2 runs given up. And if he does that for me, I'll be more than happy. And then with the other,
I think it would be amazing if all three of these guys could give the Yankees at least 6 innings. If their starters could come here and go 6-6-6, even, you know, 5 and something, 5 and 1/3, 5 and 2/3, all of them mm-hmm. do that. I think you walk out there as an extreme positive.
Stroman, I mean, I would imagine you're going to be the most excited to see Los in this series.
Of course.
With good reason.
Always, my guy.
I'm going to be the most excited to see Stroman just off of what he showed me on Friday in the home opener.
Okay.
I think he's about to, like, really build off that in this next start.
And
I
want to salute you on that, man, because honestly, you have been 150% since the beginning of the Yankees getting Stroman. You have been one of the main people, I would say, that have just come flat out and go, yo, I love this move. Yeah. There was never I know what happened. I know this. How is that? You were straight out immediately. I friggin' love Marcus Stroman on a New York Yankees.
Yeah.
You were like, I get it. I get all the other mess. I understand it.
Yep.
But he's a Yankee, and this team needs somebody like him there.
Yeah.
And look, we've talked about it before, right? Oh, man, there's got to be, you know, a style or an attitude and this and that.
Mm.
We got guys like Donaldson, and it was like, bro, it didn't work. You were trash. Like, you made stupid-ass headlines and all that, and it was all garbage, nonsense. Get out of here. You weren't good. You didn't perform. But Marcus Stroman has a swagger about him, man. He just has that New York vibe, and it just protrudes out of him. Extrudes, and it just comes out.
Yep.
And he is perfect for this club, but I wanted to salute you on that because you were all over that before anybody.
Pete, when some people, I'm glad you brought up the Donaldson stuff, because some people will say, well, it's the same kind of attitude, more or less. There's a difference, though,
Yeah.
Because there is like a luck factor, whether or not people want to play into it, right? But their luck does play a part. And when you are that, like, openly, you know, I guess you could, not flamboyant is one of the words, but like, you have an attitude, there's a swagger about you. Luck is important because that's either going to come back to bite you or it's going to play into the legend. With Donaldson, it kept coming back to bite him for whatever reason. He just didn't have that luck in New York.
And he had a walk-off in his first game.
And that's with, against the Red Sox.
Against the Red Sox of all teams. So I was like, bro, you were on a super high with us, and damn, did he just falter in any way possible.
We thought it was starting the right way. And then, so again, it's still early with Stroman, but what I will say is so far, he's come up aces. I mean,
no question.
The strikeout of Vladdy.
No runs.
Dude, the strikeout, the Vladdy strikeout the other day with the little K-strut two-step or whatever, it's just like.
Smack in the glove. I love it.
Who better on that team for him to strike out in that moment and show up? It's like some people just have the luck. And I feel like Stroman's he's blessed. He's one of those dudes.
Before we get ready to wrap up, I got to say this about Stroman because it's kind of a funny thing. Mm. So there is, and again, this might be done by a lot of people, but I'm only simply saying Italians because this is what I've known. So my mom does this, and I got this from her. When we get mad, like we get mad at the kids or something like that, we got to scream. We bite our tongue. We like this. Fuck over here. Like that. Like that's the type of shit we do. You notice when Stroman does the same shit?
Yeah,
he'll bite his tongue and just clap like that? Like when he's hype?
Yeah.
I relate to that shit because that is something that. And when my mother had the tongue out and it's biting the bottom of it, and she had that spoon, you were done. You're done.
You were done.
Just, that was you it. You know you went too far. You joked around too much, and now it was coming to a stopping point, and that's it. And you were done. Alex with the super chat says, the W's are rigged for Hirsch. I promise you, there is no rigging here, okay? I promise you, there is no rigging, no stopping the count, okay? And Connor O'Neill says, Nestor is a five, not an ace. That's how I look at him. Three runs from the five. We're all happy. It's because he's going versus aces, and you can't give up three runs to work with. Like us with Cole, you give Cole three runs, and you win 90% of the game. That's a valid point. That's a valid point.
Yep, he's right. He's right.
So, guys, I mean, we're going to wrap up here. I just want to thank everybody for the amazing start that we got off to. And look, man. We have April 20th right around the friggin' corner, guys. It is literally April 7th. Of course, that means tomorrow is the 8th. The next day's the 9th. The next day's the 10th. That's the way it goes. That's never changed. But the event is almost here, bro. And we are so excited as a team. Shouting out my brother Kev, Mario, Johnny, Francis. They did a great job at the home opener. Got us some great pictures, great video. But again, guys, this is a real friggin' team, man. NYYU is a real, real team. We're not a bunch of guys that go, we do some shows together, and then we're like, all right, see you later. Nah, this is a family, man. We are no joke about it. We are all for each other. We are all good friends, and we're having an amazing time with what you're doing. And, of course, to have that and then all of you with us for the event is going to be wild this year. I can't
wait. Movie, man. Movie. I can't. I'll tell you one thing. Friday's home opener, the vibes, the energy before the game, everything. It was amazing. But I got to tell you, 420 is going to be so much fucking better. If you were in this chat and you were in the building on Friday, you know what I'm talking about. There was something special in the air. You just felt it, whatever. Yep. 420 is going to be 100 times that, I promise you. I mean, watching the game together it's like watching the game with your family, with your the people who you've been friends with the longest, your day ones or whatever. Listen, 420 is going to be a freaking movie. And we just got 2 weeks to go. Okay. We got the Marlins, the Guardians, the Blue Jays again, and then bam, three series. Yep. And we're together on 420, baby. That's it. It's right there, amazing. Bro.
I'm just laughing because Yojo's such an ass, man. He goes, so you guys don't block each other on social media. Yojo, we'll be seeing you on 420, my guy. We'll see all of you on 420. It's going to be amazing. Nah, ain't no blocking. Let me tell you something. Me and Francis has had our share of arguments.
Yeah.
And all the time I joke with Francis at the end, if I go, look, brother, I'm doing this because I love you, one. But two, if you want to throw the boxing gloves on, we can go lock ourselves in a room together and finish this and then head back out and go do a show together.
Facts.
Like, that's the type of family this is, man. Like, yes, you know, we really are all for each other. And on top of that, too, we are all for you guys, the fans. It's going to be unreal. Macho King, Hirsch, Medina, all the legends of the chat, Brett Alexander, Dane Huber. We got our friend Matthew coming from Australia. It's wild, man. It's going to be absolutely amazing. You guys are the best. Truly love you all. Francis, by all means, man, take us out.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the 8-2 New York Yankees, for the best in the business. You see the logo behind me. NYYU for all your Yankees baseball needs. And for the realest podcast on the block, the designated spinners. Y'all already know. It's your boy Francis Lee. Keep it locked and stay tuned. Smacky that damn likey. Hitty that damn subby. See you on 420 to the ones I'm going to see. Stay tuned because the next episode will in fact be the best episode.
All I'm going to say today is acknowledge us. That's it. Acknowledge NYYU, baby. That's right. Top 10 radar. Yeah, we on your radar. Never miss, dog. And that's on occasion. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, we on your radar. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, on your look, top floor lifestyle. Chef and boy, I'm cooking up. Way too high, ain't coming down. You see me if you looking up. I don't really talk too much. I show I'm running numbers up. Lucky that I'm strolling up. I'm going off. They know what's up. Top 10.